Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let your spirit watch us where we go. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning, all the people in computer land. We thank the good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. We are excited and we are delighted because this is Resurrection Sunday morning. A lot of people say Easter, but we say Resurrection Sunday because we are not a pagan. We are a believer in Christ Jesus, and we believe in what he has done at Calvary for all who would call upon his name in repentance. And Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for granting us another beautiful day, wonderful, awesome day, in the name of Jesus, to come before you this morning. We come with the heart of repentance, O God. We reject everything that the enemy would bring against us. We reject it right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that Satan would conjure up, everything, every arrow, every dart, every sword, every spear that he would throw at us, Lord, we reject it right now. We command it to go back to the sender in the precious name of Jesus, Father. Oh, God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed at the cross. We thank you for healing us, delivering us, and restoring us, oh, God. Lord, we ask that you have mercy upon us, that you extend your hand of grace. Let the blood that was shed at Calvary, O God, wash us afresh this morning. Lord, help us to walk this path that you have called us to walk on, O God, in the anointing, O God. O God, in the love and the mercy that you have placed, the compassion that you have placed upon our lives, O God. We come against no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no dog, no cat. Lord, all we come against is the evil that Satan has put in this world, oh God. We only have one enemy. His name is Satan. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name, God. God, we know that people are saying all type of things, but it doesn't bother us because we know who we are. We don't talk about nobody. We don't lift nobody's name. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to let people's name come off our mouth anymore. We're not going to call anybody's name off our mouth. Lord, only one we want to talk about is you, Jesus. Only you. Just you, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray today for this word, God, such a sweet word you have given us, that it will go forth just as you gave it to us, like honey, oh God. Lord, that it will do what you sent it to do this morning. We ask you, God, to touch the four corners of the earth, Lord. Touch Africa, India, China, Japan, and Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran, Syria, Egypt, Israel, Jerusalem, France, Germany, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Brazil, Denmark, Holland. Lord, that you touch the Philippine Islands, the Fiji Islands, the Caribbean Islands, Canada, the United States of America. Lord, touch the whole world. Lord, touch the Russian, Ukraine, God. Touch China, Taiwan. Oh, Father, we ask, God, that you bring peace in the world, God. God, there's so much hatred in the world right now. Even the saints are going against each other. Lord, Satan has entered into the church and has disrupted the saints, oh, God. Even as he did in the time of Job and the sons of God, when they came before God to worship God, he showed up, and he's still showing up in the church now. Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of the saints, oh God, unstop their ears, that they would hear truth and not believe a lie. Father, we just thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. In the book of Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, we'll start over there, Luke 24, And we are going to start at verse 1, Luke 24, verses 1. Let us go there. The Bible says, now on the first day of the week, at very early dawn, they came back to the tomb bringing the fragrant spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men in gleaming clothing stood near them. And as they were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? What a profound question. The angels asked the women that went to the tomb early in the morning before the sun could fully show its beautiful face. They went to the tomb with spices to anoint the body, as they would customly do when some person have crossed over. But Jesus was not in the tomb. He had risen just like he said he would. He told them in time past that if they tear down the temple, that he would raise it up in 3 days. But they claim they have built the temple for over 40-some years. And how can he raise it up again in 3 days? But he was talking about his temple, his body. The women went to the tomb first before any of the apostles or disciples went to the tomb. The women went there to anoint his body. And the angels spoke to them. A lot of times we are looking for stuff that's already dead. And it has risen, rejuvenated in a different manner. It's no longer there. When it's gone, it's gone. Don't worry about it. He says here, he is not here. That's what the angel said. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of men who are sinners and be crucified. And on the third day, he would rise. Remember, he told you this. See, we got to go back. From time to time, we got to go back and look at the word of God and see what God said about us. We are going through some different predicaments. But God already told us that we will face these changes. He told us these things. Don't worry about this and about that. Who's here and who's there and what is turning upside down? Worry about Jesus Christ. Not even worry, but focus on Jesus Christ. But you don't have to worry about Jesus Christ. He's good. He's great. He's awesome. He's mighty. Focus on Jesus Christ, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. That's where our focus ought to be. That's where our focus ought to be. Looking and see how many was looking last night to and listen to the news on the computer, and they're trying to figure out why so many young people are suddenly dropping down dead. And the man who was a scientist is saying that he concluded that it's due to the vaccine that, and now they say that after 2 years, whatever they put in the vaccine, some type of protein would be activated in the bloodstream and folk will begin to drop down dead. But as I was listening to the gentleman speak, a Caucasian gentleman, I said, well, praise the Lord, I am saved. I'm sanctified. I'm not perfect, but I'm preparing for everything that's bad because I know I will receive that which is good. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. You have to prepare your life. Can't listen and be moved by what people say. You got to listen to what God, the Savior Jesus Christ, says. This is what he says. Glory to God. Back to the word. The angels told him that he is not in the tomb. He said, but remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of men who are sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And when they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, when they went back to the tomb, when they returned to the tomb, they told the 11, the disciples who became apostles, he told them that the Savior, the Lord, has risen. But the disciples didn't believe them. Because in those days, they didn't believe what women says. A man had to say it or speak it for the people to believe. They spoke to 11 because Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, had hung himself. You'll see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. Matthew 27, verse 3 to 5. Judas is later replaced by Matthias in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 26. Now Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them were telling these things to the apostles. And these words appeared to them as nonsense. In other words, the apostles did not believe what the women were saying. They refused to believe them, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He ran to the tomb. And bending over to look, he saw only the strips of linen cloth. And he went away to his home, wondering what had happened. Now, that's verse 13. Two previous unnamed followers of Jesus, one of which is named in Luke chapter 24, verse 18, we're going to get the Cleopas, not any of the 11 remaining apostles. All these things that had happened referred to the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him, as far as the men could tell. He was just another traveler. Let's go up to verse 13. And behold, on that same day, two of the men were traveling to a village named Emmaus that was 60 stadia distant from Jerusalem. Let me look at it in the King James Version, verses 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7.5 miles, and they talked together about all these things which had happened. In other words, they were talking about how they crucified Jesus, how he died on the cross, how he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and they're wondering what had happened to him. Because now, Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He is risen, but none of them believe that he's risen, like he said, because they could not remember that he had told them that the Jews and the Romans would destroy him. The Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, they would destroy him. They would kill him, and he would rise again. They would destroy his temple. Jesus is the only one that was in the grave, that came up the grave, and still alive. Lazarus, Jesus resurrected Lazarus, but Lazarus died again. Hallelujah. This is why he is different to all the other gods. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, all the other gods that people, Zeus, all the other gods that people worship and praise and bow down to, they're still in the grave. That's why we know that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father through him. Why? Because he's the true and living God. He's not in the grave. The men were talking. These two men were talking. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. In other words, Jesus was walking. While they were walking, going down the highway, going to Emmaus, and talking about all that had been done to Christ Jesus, he showed up, just showed up and started walking next to them, listening to them talk. But their physical eyes were not open. Their spiritual eyes were not open. They could see physically, but their spiritual eyes were not open to them to recognize that the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah was with them. Verse 17 says, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Jesus knows what they're talking about, but he wants them now to talk plain. He asked them, what's all this stuff you guys are talking about? They couldn't recognize him. Cleopas, probably a different person from Clopas, mentioned in John chapter 19 and 25. Verse 18. And the one of them, whose name is Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hath not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? They ask him, are you not only a stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not heard what has been done in this city in all these past days? And he said unto them, what things? Jesus knew, he knew, but he said, what things And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. They say that Jesus was a prophet. In other words, they say he was a mighty prophet, not only in words, but in deeds. Not only in deeds, but in words. He said that his actions and his words spoke loud. He performed miracles. They were saying, in a sense, how he opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, caused the cripples to walk, caused the dumb to talk. He raised the dead. See, he was mighty. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. I have the 14 stations, which came in three different ways or patterns that we will tell you about. Hallelujah. From the first to the last. 14 stations Jesus had to go through. He went through for you and I. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He had to face all this stuff. We'll tell you, coming close to the end. Tell you all. Put it on the recording. Glory to God. The chief priests, these are the people that are part of the church, part of the synagogue. Today's time, we were saying that they're part of the synagogue. Because they didn't have the church buildings at the time. They had synagogues, Jewish temples. And these were priests, rabbis, and Roman governors, leaders that condemned Jesus. Pilate didn't want to condemn it because Pilate could find no fault. Pilate said he washed his hands against the trials, the charges. He said he could find no fault. And he wanted to give them, he wanted to release Barabbas. But the Jews and the rabbis, the Pharisees, the scribes, all of these people that were devout people in Israel at the time, they cried out, release Barabbas, crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. That's what they cried out. They didn't want him to be released. But all this, you know, sometimes we might get mad when we see and hear these things. But all these things had to happen so that you all and myself, we could have access to the fountain of life, the light of the world, so that we wouldn't have to be continually in the walk or live in the darkness of sin. That the light of God would shine upon us through him to lead us out of darkness, out of sin. So all this has to happen. Now let's go a little further. He says, verse 20 again, and how the chief priests and the rulers and our rulers deliver him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Acts chapter 1 and 6. Acts 13 and 27. Acts chapter 2. 22, Acts chapter 7 and 22. All these scriptures that you can parallel with what I'm saying. He says, yeah, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Matthew 28, verse 8, Mark chapter 16, verse 10. They're telling Jesus that these women who was part of their circle had been to the tomb early in the morning. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Now, at this point in time, these men are worried, concerned. The women said that he is alive, but they don't believe the women. He's not in the tomb. Where is he? He didn't come and see the disciples yet. So where is he? How come these women saw him first? All this is going through their minds. Because in the time, like I said, women didn't have the right to speak. If men didn't say it, nobody believed. Men had to say it first, and then women could say it after. You hear what I'm saying? It was also messed up society, just like all society knows messed up. He said, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Peter had been to the sepulchre. In another book, it said that Peter and John went to the sepulchre in John chapter 20, and they didn't find his body, only the napkin. And we know that usually if you are in a restaurant and you are eating, even if you have your napkin on your lap and the plate is clean, the hostess is not, the waitress is not going to come and remove your plate until you say so. And most of the times, they wouldn't move your plate until you crumple up the napkin and put it in the plate. But if the napkin is neatly folded and put next to the plate, they know you're not finished. You're coming back. You may have left to go into the bathroom, but the napkin is set neatly folded. They're not going to move your stuff because they know you're coming back. And that was how everything was formulated. Then he said unto them, all fools, Jesus now began to talk to them, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus called and said to them, how foolish can you be not to remember all that you have been taught of my death, my burial, and my resurrection? It's all the way from the prophets, from in the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. It came all through the prophets. Elijah, Jeremiah, Amos, Malachi, all of these prophets spoke. Ezekiel spoke of his death. Ezra, they all spoke of his death and his burial and his resurrection. You just have to read it. And Jesus said, how come you don't believe the prophets? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Hallelujah. He had to suffer. We don't want to suffer. Somebody say something, we get bent out of shape. We get bent out of shape. We can't fellowship anymore. Christ never leave them. Even in death, he came back to the ones who crucified him. The man at the cross, the centurion, the soldier at the cross, assured him this was the Son of God. The sun is dark and the moon is light, and the sky is dark and the earth begins to quake from the power of his death. Listen. He said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5. Jesus began to quote the scriptures to them. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, or the day is getting late. That's what they say to him. And the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. Genesis chapter 19, verse 3. Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Matthew chapter 14 and 19. All these scriptures that pertain to Jesus as Lord. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and baked and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. He vanished out of their sight. See, once he opened them, take the bread, and he broke it as Holy Communion. He blessed it, and he gave it to them. And their spiritual eyes were opened, so they recognized him. When they recognized him, he just vanished. Disappear. Zoom, and he's gone. And they said one to another, this is what you hear pastors saying this a lot in the church. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us what he taught with us by the way, and what he opened to us the scriptures? See, sometimes you have to hear the truth to believe. Because sometimes, even in the time that we're living now, you have to be very careful, because they're trying to make the truth sound a lie, sound like the truth, and the truth sound like a lie. So you have to be, you have to know the truth. This is the first thing you need to do, is know the truth, not what somebody tells you. Because people are saying stuff that sound real. And you come against the woman of God or the man of God because you heard somebody tell you something, but you haven't heard it for yourself. Then you become arrogant and believe that you can teach or preach against the man of God or woman of God. Don't make that mistake. It may cost you your life, putting your mouth on the man of God or woman of God. Don't do it. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and have appeared to Simon. Verse 1, verse 7, verse 13, verse 21, verse 29. Verse 46, the book of Luke. They say the Lord has appeared to Simon, indeed, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now these two men begin to tell the disciples of how Jesus had showed up while they were walking on the road to Emmaus, or Emmaus, how you want to say it, and how he was talking to them, and how he opened the scriptures to them. The beginning said how, telling the disciples that they didn't recognize who he was until when they invite him to come and spend the night at their apartment. And he blessed the meal, he blessed what they was about to partake of, and their eyes was instantly opened. When their eyes were open, they recognized, their spiritual eyes were open, because they could see. They weren't blind people, but spiritually blind. We have so many people that can see. They can see naturally. Some people know the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. but they don't know how to live the scripture. So it's a two-way thing. See, you have your eyes, but you really can't see. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, they have eyes they cannot see, ears they cannot hear. In the book of Revelation, they can't hear. See, listen what he says. Glory to God. They talked about how Jesus breaking the bread. And Isaiah does. Then thus spake Jesus himself, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. As the two men was talking to the apostles, Jesus showed up. After he had broken bread with the two men, he disappeared. Now the two men is talking to the apostles, and he appeared. This is powerful, man. This is powerful. Hallelujah. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus is right there. And fear come upon them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't let fear stop you from receiving what God has for you. Fear and unbelief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Jesus asked them a question. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Jesus, he is God. He can see our thoughts. He can see what's in our heart, even though we are speaking, well. We are saying good things, and we sound like we all that in a bag of chips and a pack of cola. We are saying all of this stuff, but Jesus can see in our hearts the malice, the jealousy, the envy, the hatred that's in our hearts. Some of us that we have against each other, Jesus can say it. He can see it because we allow other people to put things in our thoughts, put thoughts in our minds, and we jump off. But as long as you know that you know that you know that you are truly working for the Lord, God don't allow what people say and people do to take you out of your focus. We promise this to the Lord. We start this ministry. Matter of fact, the Lord has put us in position in 2010. It's 13 years. 13 years we've been doing this. And tell the truth, we don't care if anybody come on the line. They don't have to come. Nobody don't have to come. We are still, when the Lord allows us to get on here in the morning, we're going to get on here and preach and teach the gospel. We are not dependent for nobody to come. I'm not looking for anybody to come on the line. If somebody chooses that they want to come, God bless them. But we are coming on here, as I told Evangelist Campbell back in 2010 when we started this line with the Holy Ghost. We're going to come on when God says so, and we're going to put out the word, and we're going to pray, and we're going to go. Hallelujah. We're not dependent on anybody. And when you people that are on the lines talking, you're talking, saying what you're saying, get the right information first before you get in preachable apostle. Before you talk about this body or that body, get the right information. And if you doubt, if you know you don't have the right information, you want the right information, come to me. I'm man enough. I'm bold enough to tell you the truth. I ain't never called nobody name on this blog talk because I had nothing to say. I had nothing to say about anybody. People can say what they like. I ain't never called nobody names. Nobody offended me, so what did I have to say? People leave the church because they want to leave the church. The prodigal son leaves the father's house. Nobody tell him to leave. He just leave. He leave on his own, and he came back on his own. People leave on their own. They come back on their own. So be it. People got to get the right information before we get bold and we get on fire. Want to preach about somebody, preach somebody's message, preach somebody's vengeance to me. I know the truth. Let me get this word in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People trouble in their minds. They trouble in their hearts. Their hearts are not free. Their minds are not free. They say they're free, but they're not free. Because we allow people to get into our minds, get into our hearts. This is the last time that I'm going to preach anything concerning the foolishness. Behold my hands, Jesus says, and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, touch me, and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me here have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Now Jesus now want to show them he have not yet ascended into heaven. But Jesus said, look, I want you to know that it's I. It is me, the rabbi. It's me, the Lord, talking to you. Have you had any meat? He's the Lord that eats with his people. When you have Holy Communion, and you have Holy Communion, the Lord is at the table. He eats and he drinks with his people. But he said this moment, have you have any meat? Have you have anything to eat? And they give him some fish, some broiled fish. Not fried fish, some broiled fish. Hallelujah. And they give him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He had some fish. Jesus teaching us how to eat. How the disciples eat fish and honeycomb. They had honeycomb. We want to have all this stuff that's killing us. And he took it and did eat before them, Acts chapter 10, verse 41. And he said unto them, these are the words unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus says, I told you. All this stuff was written in the books of Moses, the law. It was written, and it has to be fulfilled. That's what he said to them. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Remember, he sent them to Jerusalem to go and wait there until they be endowed with power. Acts 1 and 8. And he, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the message of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Matthew 28 and verse 9. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Acts 2 and 48. Now Jesus was profound in this message here, is that before Jesus left, he blessed the disciples, the apostles. He blessed them and he gave them the commission of what they should do. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. He blessed them. He gave them a commission. See, we have a commission. Our commission is to speak the truth, live the truth. That's what our commission. Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? They asked a question. We just saw that scripture in Luke 24 and 1, in John chapter 20 and verse 1, Luke 23 and 56. They came to the tomb. They asked among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away from it very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were amazed of the sight of this young man, clothed in white linen. He said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place. Look at the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. These women, they went into the tomb, as we said in Luke chapter 24. They went in there with these sweet spices to anoint Jesus' body. It's like embalming him. He's dead. And they begin to wonder who would roll away the stone while they're walking. They're talking to each other. Well, who would roll away the stone that we might be able to anoint the Messiah? But while they are talking and they get closer to the sepulchre or the tomb, they realize and notice that the stone which covered the door, the entrance to the tomb, was already rolled away. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are so concerned with so much idiotic stuff that's going on in the world that we don't realize that God has already taken care of it. Instead of us coming together and be who God called us to be, we allow the enemy to come into our hearts, like Jesus was telling them. They allow the enemy to come into their mind, their thoughts, and into their hearts to bring division. Instead of hearing by the Spirit what God is saying to his church, the Bible says these women went into the sepulchre. They did not stay outside. They went in because they wanted to see their Savior, their Rabbi. The angel begins to tell them about Jesus, that he has risen from the dead, to go and tell the disciples, his disciples. But the women were so afraid, they were amazed, they were happy and afraid. I could not understand this when I first taught this here some years ago. I could not understand how you can be happy and sad at the same time, or happy and afraid at the same time. But there was, the Bible said there was afraid and amazed at the same time. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, we call it Resurrection Sunday, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Luke chapter 8, verse 2. Now you see this, that Jesus did not appear to the apostles first. I want you to see this. This Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Some statement says she was a prostitute. Jesus cast the demons out of her, and she never stopped following Jesus or never stopped following the way. She followed the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus showed up to her first. Something to think about. When we say that women shouldn't be preachers, Jesus showed up to the woman first. The women went and seek out Jesus after his death first. They went to the tomb first, not the man. The man was somewhere hiding, trying to figure out how they're going to continue doing what they're supposed to do. They were afraid that they would be captured and be crucified also. There's a man, a pastor in Kenya. I just got the inbox. He professed that he is Jesus. So the people of Kenya say, this happened this morning. This week. He professed that he was Jesus. So the people now, crowds of people, said, if you were Jesus, you should be crucified. You should be on the cross. They want to put him on the cross in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya. And he ran to the police station for protection. He was bold in a robe and all this stuff. Dressed the part. How come that we can be so bold to preach and teach the gospel, but when trials come, we run? We run and hide. Here, the Bible says that Jesus cast seven devils out of her. She went and told them. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. She went and told the disciples, those that were with him, his proteges, the ones that he was training for ministry. She went and told them. And there, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believe not. They didn't believe her. Why? Because she was a woman speaking. Like a woman can't know the truth. But Jesus showed to her. Because they were in their mind saying, well, we are men. And we were his disciples. We are his disciples. How come he didn't show up to us and tell us? Let us know. Let us see him. How come? Why would he come to you first? This is what I can see. That these men are seeing in their hearts. Why would he show up to you first? Like, you got some bishops today. They would tell you, I'm the bishop of the church. You just a usher. You just a minister. Why would God speak to you first and not to me? See, God knows that the usher most likely going to believe that he is who he said he is. But the bishop got to see everything. They got to see everything first before they believe. But the woman, she going to believe because she know what he has done for her. You see, it's very easy for a person that's been a prostitute and has been delivered by God to believe in the things of God than the one that just went to seminary school and they learned theology. They learned how to put the scriptures together, how to highlight the scripture. They're not going to believe too much. You understand what I'm saying? They don't quote the book because they studied the book. They spent 4.5 years studying the book. This is why it's so easy for apostles and bishops and evangelists and pastors and teachers. It's so easy for them to go backward instead of forward. You got pastors that leading churches now that are selling dope. And dozen and dope. Getting drunk, snorting cocaine and all that kind of stuff. Smoking crap. But they know the word. They can preach you underneath the table. But they can't live you over the table. The thing is not preaching under the table. You got to get over the table. Get over the table. I know a preacher like preaching, go underneath the table. Go underneath the Holy Communion table. He don't need the Holy Communion table with a microphone preaching. And the Baptist doctor, he says, this is Pastor, why are you underneath the table? It didn't look like, you know, putting on antics. They have poles in some of the church. He'd go around the pole, swinging around the pole, preaching. But couldn't live the word. He's a good, awesome preacher. But he couldn't live the word. Couldn't live the word. We ain't teaching this stuff or preaching this stuff to judge nobody. That's not who we are. It's after that, verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And they went and told it unto the residue, to all the other people. Neither believed they them. See, some folk are not going to believe. You remember doubting Thomas? Thomas didn't see Jesus when he showed up to the apostles. He said, look, Thomas said, look, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, and I put my finger into his side, I don't believe none of you all seen. And when Jesus showed up in the midst of the apostles, while they were in the apartment, Thomas was there. And he bowed down and began to say, Rabbi, my Lord. He began to call him out. After he appeared unto the eleven, and they set up meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and harshness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him till he was risen. Jesus come and give them correction. We don't want to be corrected. We want to push our chest up as we know it all. We got it all. Then here, Jesus gave them the commission. Jesus is now prepared to leave them and go back to the Father. He gave them the commission. This is what we should be preaching. He says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everybody. First Colossians chapter 1 and 23. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, these signs going to follow you. If you believe, yes, what's going to happen? You're going to live the way God said to live. Fussing and fighting with each other. But you call yourself a Christian. You're looking for something to argue about. That's not God's way. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God the Father. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 4. And 5, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 4, John chapter 20. Let's go there. This is the last scripture I'm going to give you all today. I'm going to put it on the line today for the people in the world. We're just not preaching. We're teaching this thing as the Lord has given us utterance. In the book of Acts, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Hallelujah. Big John, St. John, chapter 20, verse 1 to 10. I think we have stopped there. Verses 1 to 13. Hallelujah. And we see it's pretty much the same scripture that we read just now. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciples and came to the sepulchre or the tomb. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, John did outrun him, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet when he not in, John looked into the tomb, into the sepulchre, looked through the doorway, but he didn't go in. Some say he was a frightened, or he was scared. He didn't know what to do. He looked in, and all he saw was the linen clothes. The body was gone. Christ has risen. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Simon did not hesitate. He went straight in. Simon was the leader, but this is the kind of man he was. It didn't take him no time to move. He go first. Simon would go in because he was interested in being with the Savior. This is Simon. We have to get to that place in our walk that we are willing to go for the Lord. I'm going to tell you about the 14 stages, and after we talk about the 14 stages, we're gonna close. Here, back in this text here, John, verse 7. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in its place by itself. And then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. See, now they see that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Hallelujah. He's no longer in the tomb. Why? Because he's risen. But they had to see to believe. The women saw. They were told to go and tell the disciples or the apostles that he is no longer dead, that he is risen. He has risen. But they didn't believe the women. They had to see for themselves. Hallelujah. Some things you got to see for yourself. But some things you ought to know that is so. Why? Because he has told us that he will rise again. He told us this. And stand down in the boat. Tear down this temple. And I will rise it up again in 3 days. Told us this. We need our spiritual ears open. Listen to this. They believe. For yet they knew not the scripture that he must be raised, he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again onto their own home, but Mary stood without, she stood outside the sepulchre weeping, and she wept, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre or the tomb, and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet. They sitting where Jesus should be, one at his head and one at his feet, but he's not there. Okay, listen. And since the two angels in the white sitting, the one at the head and one at the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, and they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" They ask her a question. She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Her spiritual eyes were not open. Her natural eyes were open so she could see. Her spiritual eyes were closed. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She's supposing him to be the gardener, saying unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him, hence, if thou hast taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Now you can imagine that. She's a little woman, think that she can take Jesus, he's a big man. Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say master. When she heard his voice, something happened in her spirit. When she heard his voice, something happened in her. Something ought to be happening in us every time we hear the scripture. Something ought to happen. Every time we study the word of God, something ought to happen. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Every time we hear the word, every time we study the word, something should happen in us to enlighten us of who we are and whose we are. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now he come now in Luke chapter 24:36, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. And he said, "Peace be unto you." See, Jesus wants us to have peace. If we are worried, if we are worried and going on about everything that happened around us, we can't have peace. Jesus wants us, it is his prayer that we would have the peace, that we would operate in his peace. Jesus wants us to operate in the peace of God. But we are worried about everything that's going on around, so we can't. We are not experiencing the peace. We are not experiencing the peace. Mary Magdalene, she got all the information. And when he had verse 20, and when he had gone a little further, and when he had said, and when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 16, verse 14 to 16. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Has the Lord Jesus Christ breathed on you yet? Because if you still operate in the old manner, the old mindset, the old spirit, you need to go back and repent. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them yet when Jesus came. Other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Now, after 8 days, a little over a week, the disciples were inside the apartment again, inside the home, the house. And Thomas, the doubter, was with them. Hallelujah, glory to God. He was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. This is the second time he coming while the door was closed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because he's God. He can come right through the wall. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us today. Bless the hearers and bless those. And the 12, let me see, these are 14 stations. Jesus, number one station, Jesus was condemned to death in the judgment hall. Number two, Jesus takes up his cross. Number three, Jesus falls the first time while carrying the cross. Number four, Jesus meets his mother the way to Calvary. Number five, Simon of Cyrene has Jesus carry his cross. Number six, Veronica is a woman, wipes the face of Jesus. Number seven, Jesus falls the second time. Number eight, Jesus meets women, the women of Jerusalem. This is all on the way to the Calvary. Number nine, Jesus falls the third time. Number 10, Jesus is stripped of his garments, sometimes called the divisions of robes. Number 11, Jesus is nailed to the cross. Number 12, Jesus died on the cross. Number 13, Jesus taken down from the cross. And number 14, Jesus is laid in the tomb. These are the 14 stations that Jesus went through. And we have them in other ways too. Another 14 stations. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Number 2, Jesus is betrayed by Judas and arrested. Number 3, Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. Number 4, Jesus is denied by Peter 3 times. Number 5, Jesus is judged by Pilate. Number 6, Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. Number 7, Jesus takes up his cross. Number 8, Jesus is helped by Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross. Number 9, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Number 10, Jesus is crucified. Number 11, Jesus promised his kingdom to the repentant thief. Number 12, John is entrusted Mary and John to each other. Jesus entrusted Mary and John to each other. Number 13, Jesus died on the cross. Number 14, Jesus is laid in the tomb, approved by Pope Benedict in 2007. Mr. Pope had to approve that it happened. Now, this is another 14 stages. Number 1, the Last Supper. Number 2, the agony in Gethsemane. Number 3, Jesus before the Sanhedrin, the judgment hall. Number 4, Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. Number 5, Jesus received his cross. Number 6, Jesus falls under the weight of the cross. Number 7, Simon of Cyrene helped Jesus carry his cross. Number 8, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Number 9, Jesus is nailed to the cross. Number 10, the repentant thief. Number 11, Mary and John at the foot of the cross. Number 12, Jesus died on the cross. Number 13, Jesus laid in the tomb, his tomb. Number 14, Jesus raises from the dead. Father, we thank you and praise you. Oh God, we ask today that maybe someone heard this resurrected message. What must I do to be saved, Lord? Let somebody today ask this word and receive you, Lord, as their Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L-U, me, us, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only thing that's going to help you to escape damnation or the lake of fire and brimstone is the gift of salvation that Jesus died so that we could have. Hallelujah. Evangelist Campbell always said he died so we would have the right to the tree of life. And that is true. He died so we could have the right to the tree of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of life. It is a gift. Hallelujah. But the only one who can give it to you is Jesus, the one who paid the price. He's the one who went to the cross, the one who died, the one who shed his blood so that we could have access to the tree of life. So we must first repent. The Bible says that Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own merits. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Your work, you can't do no work. You can't purchase the ticket. And you can't do nothing to go. Jesus done it all. He did it all. He did it all at Calvary. given us the right to the tree of life. He did it all so that we could have access to the river of life. Jesus is the river of life. And without him, you have no hope. A lot of people are living without hope. And judgment is coming. And it's going to be too late. When judgment comes for people to turn on, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. We got to understand this. I did a lot of scriptures in here pertaining to salvation in this message. We got to understand that Jesus is the only way. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent for your sins. Repentance means that you must turn away from your lifestyle. You may have to lose some family members. You may have to lose some friends. You can't keep going to the same places doing the same thing. You got people say, well, is it okay for me to have a drink? Yes, you can have a drink of wine. I drink wine on Saturday morning for Holy Communion. I have a bottle and a half that we just got because I run out. And we just got a bottle and a half, we got a bottle and a half here because they drink some of the bottle that they have open for Passover. So I got a bottle and a half, and they will last me for some time because I'm not going to just drink it because I want to drink. I have another bottle that have different garlic and onions and cloves and all that stuff in it, you know, because I use that for medicine. Just a little thimbleful. But you have to understand, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Can you hear him this day? Wherever you are, you may be convicted in your spirit to the lifestyle you've been living, a lifestyle according to the world. But you seem to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. And the only thing that's going to get you from between that rock and a hard place is repenting, denouncing Satan and his agents and the world system and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3 and 16. The Bible says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3 and 17. You see, it's all there for us. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's John 3 and 19b. In the book of Romans, Paul says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. We shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. See, you got to believe on him. And how you're going to believe is by hearing the word. This is what we're giving you right now, the word of God. You have to receive the word. You should receive. Let me say this. You should receive the word of God with gladness. It's the word of God that's going to make all the difference in your lives. It will make all the difference in your life if you just repent. And then you have to be baptized. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And if you would just open and invite him in, he'll come in. And the Bible says he has supped with you. He said he's coming quickly. So you have to do all this before he comes. You can't wait till he pierces the skies and come in with the angels at the sound of the trumpet. And take you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to receive salvation. I want to accept you. Lord, it's too late. He's given us time and time and time again for us to repent. He's given us time, hallelujah, for us to repent. But we are stubborn. We have the nature of stubbornness. We don't want to repent. Because we want the world. Most of us want the world. Most of the world, the people want the world. And they want Jesus too. I had to let go. I used to love smoking crack cocaine. Loved it because it made me feel good. I felt extraordinary. I didn't worry about anything. I had insecure. I was not insecure in any way when I smoked crack cocaine. You know, but in the natural, before I really come to Jesus, and Jesus draw me in, I was very, very, very insecure. Very insecure. You know, because I didn't have a father that was around to build me up when I was a young man. But Jesus is my father. And if you're out there today in computer land, this message is going all over the world. The satellite system is taking it up. One of the computers is acting up today, but we got many computers. We got about 5 of them here. Laptop, desktop, and 3 iPads. One that we use for ministry is here is acting up today. It's been doing that a couple of days. It's the oldest computer that I have. But we thank God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to receive him today. Today is a good day for you to receive him. But tomorrow is not promised to anyone. If you would just open your mouth and say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today, and I believe what your servant has said. I believe that you were crucified on that hill called Calvary, or Golgotha, the skull. I believe that you did all this for me, and if I was the only one on the earth, that you would leave your home in glory and come into time just to set me free. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system, and I'm coming to you just as I am. Lord Jesus, my heart is open, and I'm inviting you to come in. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I believe all that was done at Calvary. Jesus, I repent of my sins, and I confess my sins before you today, for they are many. And against you and you only have I sinned. And according to 1 John 1:9, it says, if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, cleanse me today. Wash me in your blood and make me whole. Forgive my sins, Jesus. Make me whole again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me in that straight and narrow path. Help me to walk right before you, Jesus. Lord, when I fall, or if I fall, Lord, pick me up and put me back on the path. For I know I'm not perfect, but you are perfecting me even right now into that place that I need to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank God. Thank God for all those. Now you need to get a Bible. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of the Savior, our Savior, our Lord, our soon coming King, our Redeemer that we teach and preach about every day or every chance that we get here on Blog Talk, Resurrection Power Church Line. Study. And then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone who knows how to baptize, and tell them you want to be baptized. And once you get there, have made the agreement with the pastor that will baptize you the way according to Acts 2:38. And remember that there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. Acts 4:12. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and everyone that you can get, even your enemies. Why? Because this is the most important day of your life. This is your new birthday. Whatever day that you choose to get baptized, that will be your new birthday when you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have been passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Okay? And you want to be baptized. You're going down. The day that you're going to baptize is considered a liquid grave. You're going down in the water, all from your head to your feet. Everything is going underneath the water. They're not going to pour water on your head. They're not going to sprinkle you. I was sprinkled first time, but the second time, I went down in the water all the way down, and I ran off praising God, and I'm still praising Him. I'm not perfect, but I'm still praising Him. I'm going to be perfect. One day I'm going to be perfect, and Jesus comes, because He's perfecting me. And when He comes, He's going to make me complete, make us all completely perfect. But you understand that when you go down that water, you're telling the world that you're dying to the things of the world. Everything that held you in bondage, you're leaving in that water. And when you come up out of that water, you're coming up in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, who He is. Everything that He is, you have taken on. Came out of that tomb that we preach about this morning. And He ascended into heaven and went back into His heavenly robe, you will be stepping into a righteous robe until you get your heavenly robe. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, we thank You for receiving the gift of salvation. And we pray for all those that will receive. Listen, and when you get in here, stop reading the tarot cards. Stop looking at crystal balls. Stop reading palms and going to the palm reader and all that kind of stuff. And stop reading the horoscope. You don't need that. You just need to go into your Bible. If you want to know something about you, look in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Everything about you is written down in the book. It's in this book. Just go in there and ask the Lord to explain it to you. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see. He'll show you. Understand? So, hallelujah. So we thank God for those that came on today to hear the word, and for those that would hear the word at a late date. Now we're going to leave the line. We say, Father, thank You for blessing us with this word today. And as we leave this line, but never Your presence, O God, we pray, Father, that this word would resonate in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul. And Lord, that it would keep us focused on the things of heaven instead of the things of this earth. Lord, we know there's a lot of disappointments that we have faced since we have started this church line in 2010. But Lord, we are still standing here flat-footed in 2023 because of You, Lord, not because of anything that we have said or done. But we are standing because of You. Lord, we ask You to continue to strengthen us where we are weak, and where we are strong, make us even stronger, Lord. Help us to stand against the wiles of the enemy, Lord God. Satan has no power, he has no dominion, and he has no authority over us because we are washed in the blood of Jesus, Lord. Lord, You know my heart, You see my heart. We hold no grievances in our hearts, our mind against no one, no man, no boy, no dog, no cat. No birth. But Lord, we stand in faith in Your word. We ask You to open Your word to me even more, God, that I will see even more. Now, Father, we ask for blessings, Lord, that You will bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, we ask that You will continue to make us the head and not the tail, that You will set us above and not beneath. Father, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, we ask for these blessings to come so that we can be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, to the widows, to the fatherless, to the motherless, to the homeless, and to the orphans, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that You would do it because You said in Your word that You would supply all our needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this we know because You have proven to us that You do what only You can do for us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. And we are out of here. The Lord says the same. We'll be back here tomorrow morning in the Spirit of the Lord, doing what the Lord called us to do. Jesus says the same. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed Resurrected Sunday. And make sure you pray for somebody, that you love on somebody, that you don't allow the devil to destroy your thoughts and cause you to think negative, put you in a negative mindset. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because that's not who God is. God bless you all. Bye-bye.